speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Toward the end of the first century of the Christian era, and in several centuries following, Gnosticism became a major threat to the Church of our Lord. It foolishly made an attempt to synthesize some parts of Christianity with Greek philosophy. Baker's Dictionary of Theology, edited by Dr. Everett Harrison, says that Gnosticism borrowed its material from many different sources, such as the mythologies of Greece, Egypt, Persia, and India, and from the philosophies and theologies of those countries. Page 237. The word Gnostic comes from a Greek word meaning knowledge. The Gnostics claimed special knowledge that was not available to ordinary human beings. Gnosticism adversely affected many churches in the first few centuries of the Christian era. Tragically and inexplicably, Gnosticism is alive and well in some elements of the Women's Liberation Movement and in the New Age Movement. In fact, the infamous psychic, Sylvia Brown, boasts of being a Gnostic. One branch of Gnosticism was called docetic Gnosticism. The word docetic comes from the Greek word dokeo and means to seem. According to this position, Jesus Christ did not actually become a man. He just seemed like a man. He looked like a man and talked like a man, but he never really became a man. He was God, pure spirit, but not God manifest in the flesh, as Paul and other Bible writers unquestionably teach. 1 Timothy 3:16. One of the reasons the Gnostics taught that Jesus did not become flesh and blood was their belief that all material was sinful. Many within the New Thought movement in our nation teach the same error, with one exception. They apparently do not believe that money is sinful. They work toward getting all the money they can accumulate. There is hardly any doubt that the Apostle John wrote to correct the errors of docetic Gnostics. Please listen to John's introduction to his first epistle. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, we declare unto you that you may have fellowship with us. 1 John 1:1-2. Does any of that sound to you as if Jesus was pure spirit? The apostle actually touched our Lord, both before and after his resurrection. How could they handle pure spirit? The gospel according to John calls Jesus Christ the Word. It then says very plainly, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:1-14. If Jesus were not really a flesh and blood human being, what is the meaning of these words? When the Roman soldiers wanted to make sure the two thieves and Jesus were dead, they broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came their blood and water. John 19:32-34. John says, in effect, "I know that is true because I was there. I recorded it so that you might believe it." John 19:35. The Apostle John reserved some of his harshest words for those who denied that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. In fact, he calls them deceivers and antichrists. "Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and now already is in the world." 1 John 4:2-3. Thank you, and may God bless you.